Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. When the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever."
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are calling each and every one of us, Lord God, as your ministers to be a light in this world, Father. Lord, may we be like Samuel, and when you call us, Father God, may we answer, may we reply, "Here I am, Lord, here I am. Speak, Lord." Father, speak to each and every one of us this morning as we set our eyes and our minds and our hearts and our focus on you, Father. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name, and all the mighty saints say, amen. Amen. Awesome. Good morning, everybody. Wow. Well, for those who don't know, my name is Henry, and I have the privilege of bringing a word of encouragement for us this morning. Pastor Nelly is traveling at the moment in Malaysia, so please continue to pray for Pastor Nelly and also Pastor Tina and the kids as well. Okay, so last week we started our new series, right? Roll Call. And Pastor Nelly laid the foundation with what the calling of God looks like in our own lives. We have God has called each and every one of us to be his ministers. Right? To be his ministers. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be his hands and feet in our community today. Okay? So our calling is not tied to a position or title or vocation. It forms part of it, but it's not the thing, the main thing of it. Okay? And also, Pastor Nelly introduced us to the 8 marks of the calling of God from Romans 8. And so I'd encourage you, if you want to listen to the podcast, jump on our website or download our app and have a listen to the message there. Is that cool? So our main text there, Easter, man, Easter did a fantastic job. Can we give Easter a hand, you know? Our main text that we're reading from was 1 Samuel chapter 3, but I'll also be referencing chapters 1 and 2 as well throughout my message this morning, okay? So I encourage you to, take some time to read all 3 chapters. Okay, so the title of my message this morning is The Position or Positioned. Everybody say, The Position or Positioned. Now today I'm going to be breaking down, what it can look like to be in the position of a calling or being positioned for a calling, okay? Because there is a difference, okay? There is a difference. These two statements, they sound very similar, but they're very different. And here is how I'm going to be referring to them as I speak to them this morning. So when I'm talking about the position of a calling, this is about having, as we heard last week, a title. A title like, the manager, the team leader, a pastor, a vocation, a pastor, a prophet. This is the position of a calling. My first job in my life was a sales assistant for Remo Sport in New Zealand. Yes, I was a shoe salesman, but I was I sold cool shoes and cool gears. Okay, you know, we had brands like Nike, Reebok, Converse, Pumas, and Starter. You know, Starter that they're selling here in Big W and Kmart now. But you know, that was my role. I was a sales assistant, so I had certain responsibilities as a sales assistant back then. Okay, but when I'm speaking about being positioned for a calling, I'm talking about a place where someone is located, even to the point of a physical posture that someone takes in those locations, okay? The way that they live out their lives, the way that they conduct themselves, the way that they treat other people, being in the right place at the right time, saying the with the right words, with the right attitude, that is being positioned for a calling. Now, with these two views of calling, we're going to look at two characters from the Old Testament that journeyed through these very different paths. And we will see where they come together and discover when one journey ends and another one begins. So let's start with the person that walked the path of the position of a calling. This is our friend Eli. Now, Eli had two positions. Firstly, he was a judge. And so as a judge, he wasn't only given the responsibilities of dealing with legal matters, but he was also given sort of like a military and administrative role during times of crisis. You know, judges were advised to be very careful in how they dealt with people's situations, because they weren't just judging people, but they were judging for God. So there was a bit of weight in what they did, right? There was some seriousness to their calling. So these judges could not give rulings or decisions that would be biased towards one person or another. They needed to have the fear of the Lord in them so that they would judge justly and fairly according to God's will. That was Eli the judge. Eli's second position was that he was also a high priest. He was a high priest, a position that had come down through the generations, beginning with Aaron. Now, Aaron was the brother of Moses. Remember, Moses was the guy who led the Israelites out of Egypt, right? And so it came down all through the generation, through the Levites, right down to Eli. And there were certain responsibilities that the high priest had, like overseeing the subordinate priests. So there were priests that were under the high priest, making certain sacrifices or offerings. They led particular services for the people of Israel. So these were Eli's two positions, his two titles, Eli the judge and Eli the high priest. Both of these positions were held in very high regard, you know, because they carried a sort of status with them. So there was a time when the people of Israel, they relied so greatly on, you know, a person or the people that were in these positions to lead and guide them during different seasons. But in this particular season, during Eli's watch, the word of the Lord was very rare. It was like God had gone silent. And in 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, it says this: Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. So you'd have to ask, why? Why was God not speaking? Why had he gone silent? Was there something not right? Was there something that was happening within the camp? Yes, and yes, and yes. There was something majorly not right. There was something that was wrong in the camp, and the people saw it, but the people didn't deal with it. They didn't do anything about it. So we go back to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, and here we're introduced to Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Everyone say Hophni and Phinehas. So right here we get a major clue on why God may have gone silent. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. Wow. What a great description of your sons. Worthless men. Another translation says they were wicked men. That's a pretty gloomy picture if you think about it, because these are the sons of the high priest who themselves were priests, and they get this description. They certainly did not behave like priests, these guys. These guys would take the best portions of the people's sacrifices, the people's sacrifices that they would bring to give to God as the first part of, you know, for them. And so what these guys would do is that, I want this part, and I'll take this, and then they'll give it to God. That wasn't the order that God had ordained it for. That wasn't the order that God had ordained things to happen. But these two guys, they thought, nah, we do this our way. This is what we want to do. We'll take our stuff first, and then we'll give it to God. If they wanted something, these two guys, they made sure they would get it, whatever means, whatever ways. You know, they were even sleeping around with women that were the women that were serving in the temple. And the people knew this, and the people saw this happening. These two brothers, what they were doing, these two priests, they did not know the Lord. Can you imagine that? Having a position of influence, but not having the blessing or protection of God on that position because you're too busy trying to do you. You're trying to get you. You're trying to do it for yourself. What can I get out of this? What's it for me? Well, I want to get me first. And this is sadly exactly how these two brothers lived out, rolled. And that's pretty scary, right? Eli seems like a kind man by nature. You know, and he was probably loved by all the people who would come to him and ask for advice, spiritual guidance or spiritual advice. And, you know, he was probably a great man, a nice guy. But his sons obviously didn't follow in his footsteps. And they took advantage of their privileged position as priests, and they degraded the priesthood in the eyes of God and all the worshipers through their corruption and bribery. Now, parents, can I speak to some parents here? If you're at someone's house, right, and your kids are, you know, running amok, your kids at someone else's house, and, you know, what do you as a parent do? Can I make a suggestion? What sort of happens? I just have a little experience in it. But like, would you pull your kids aside? Say, hey, guys, come here. Guys, can we just calm down? Can we just relax? This is not our house, okay? Let's just show some respect, okay? Relax, bring it down. Go sit down and watch TV. But who knows that doesn't happen? Your kids, they go off. They go, okay, Dad, yep, and they go off, and they take it up a few notches more because that's what kids do, you know? And so what does that mean for you as a parent? You got to take yours up a few notches too. Okay, can I share with you a story? My son, you know, I don't know, I'm too scared to mention his age because you might call child services or something, but my son, when he was little, you know, and you know, there were those moments, you know, where he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't follow instructions. So I'd be like, son, come here. And I'll be like, Honestly, it was only just a little flick on the ear. And the way he would look at me is like, Dad, why do you do that for? I said, son, you're not listening. You're not listening, son. And then I go, okay. And he goes off and plays. And then I see him. And I'm telling him stuff again, son. And he's in the way in the distance, you know, he's looking at me. And you can't catch me, Dad. But, you know, I say, son, do you want this? Do you want this? No, I'm not giving you the A-OK sign. I'm doing this, son. Okay, do you want this? And you know his reaction? His reaction was like, no, no. Covering up his ears like that. But, you know, Eli needed to deal with his son's corruption and sin, you know, in God's house. But all he did, here's how he dealt with it. He calls his boys over and then he rebukes them. Yeah, that's cool. You know, there is a place and time for rebuking. But then when rebuking doesn't happen, when nothing changes, when behavior continues to be the same old, you got to take it up a few more notches, right?
Something else needs to change because, man, if you're dealing with what God has entrusted to you, there's got to be a bit of fear of the Lord in you about that, right? So Eli allows them to continue. You know, just a flick on the ear would have been a good start for him, right? But he didn't. He just rebukes them, and then they carry on. Carry on. Eli leaves them, doesn't punish them or anything. He just, okay, carry on with your appalling behavior. And so one day a prophet comes to Eli, and he brings a stern message from God. And in it, Eli is blamed for his son's misconduct. Eli's blamed for it. Of course, he's their father. You know, you can't be putting your position in front of your role as a parent, right? You're first a parent before you are a pastor or, a team leader or a manager. If you have children, you have a responsibility to your children first, right? So the prophet comes and he has some news for him. And he says, Eli, because of this, your sons, both your sons are going to die on the same day. The same day. And you know what? Also, the calling, the positions, the titles that you have, they're going to be removed from your house and it's going to be given to someone else. And this very prophecy would be the same prophecy that young Samuel would repeat later on in his first divine meeting with God. But we'll come to that a little bit later. But this is where we'll lead into our second character who walked the other path of being positioned for a calling. And it's Samuel. Samuel. And so as we look at Samuel's life, we'll see three things that are evident in his life as a person that was called by God. So the first thing we see is that Samuel's calling existed before he was conceived. Okay? Everyone say, Samuel's calling existed before he was conceived. So in Samuel 1, verse 1, we read that his mother was Hannah. And she had a great desire to have a child, but she wasn't able to have children. And so she was married to a man named Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives. Two wives. Yeah, guys, don't have any ideas now. Okay, two wives. And, you know, his other wife was named Penina. And so Elkanah loved Hannah very much. Even though she didn't, you know, give him children, he loved her very much. And this love that Elkanah had for Hannah was reflected in the way that he treated her. Because every year that Elkanah would take his family, his wives, and they'll go up to Shiloh, and they'll go to the temple of the Lord, and they'll give sacrifices, and they'll worship God right there. And so as a husband, he would give portions to each of his wives. He would give a portion to Penina and their children. And he would also give a portion to Hannah, but he wouldn't just give the normal portion. He wouldn't give the same portion that he would give to Penina. He gave a double portion to Hannah because of his love for her, because she couldn't bear, have children for him. But this Penina, she seems like a nice lady, but she had a bit of a nasty side to her as well. You see, she would take it upon herself to irritate and provoke Hannah. I have all the children, you got none. That was Penina. And that would like upset her, you know, just a little bit. Don't you think? Would you get a little upset if someone teasing you like that? But Hannah would get so upset and distressed by the taunting and mocking that one day she just couldn't take it anymore. And so she goes to the temple to pray to God in her distress and in her frustration, in her anger. And as she was praying deeply in her spirit, guess who's watching her? Eli. Eli's watching her from the temple entrance. And in Eli's eyes, what he sees is like, look at this drunk woman talking to herself. Crazy, crying woman. That's what Eli was thinking. But listen, I love Hannah's response to him in chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. She says this, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit, I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. You go, Hannah, you tell him. You tell that fella. Hannah's prayer was a prayer of desperation. She prayed that if God would give her a son, a child, that she would give him back to God for his service. So on that very day, a calling was established for a young man. And a year later, that prayer would be fulfilled. Amen? Samuel's calling existed before he was conceived. You know, our calling existed before we were conceived too. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." We have been called by God. God knew us even before we were a speck or even a thought in our parents' minds. He knew us. God appointed us. He set us apart. He has chosen us for a specific assignment. Galatians 1:15 says this, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace," we've been called by God's grace. Can somebody say, God's grace is enough for me? Not because God needs us, not because we have some sort of knowledge or ability, special ability that God has to have for us, that he has to use us. No, he calls us because of his grace. His grace. God's unmerited favor is upon each and every one of us in here this morning. Amen? You know, we've been chosen by the God of the universe to be his hands and feet in our city, in our nation, in this nation, to bring glory to him. What does that look like for you? Fulfilling your calling isn't just about you turning up here on Sunday. Yeah, I'm here, worship, yeah, receive the word, yeah, okay. Thank you, my calling is fulfilled, clock out. Nah. Monday to Saturday, that's when the real calling begins. Some of you, you're teachers, you're in office places, you're in factories, wherever you are, that's where God's called you to. You are to be the light in that place, wherever you are. You might be in that place complaining, "I don't want to be here." Have you asked God, "Are you supposed to be there?" "Oh, okay, God. I'll just step back a bit. Sorry." That is where, wherever you are, wherever you go, whether you're a mom at home, that's part of your calling as well. Your calling is not just one event, one single thing. It's so much bigger than that. Amen? Our calling existed before we were conceived. Number two, Samuel's calling was demonstrated in worship to the Lord. You know, from his young age, it was said of Samuel that he would minister to the Lord. You know, over those three chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, it's mentioned three times that he ministered to the Lord as a boy. As a boy. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 11, it says this, "Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest." This is a boy who knew what it was to worship God, even from his young age. You know, think about this. Samuel was a miracle baby. He was a baby that was born out of a deep desire from a mother who wanted to bear children but couldn't at that point in time. But when she received the blessing of becoming pregnant and then giving birth to this miracle baby, don't you think Hannah's faith would have gone up, maybe 100-fold? So because of this answered prayer, I know Hannah's worship life would have radically changed for the better. Would have gone to another level of intimacy, another level of gratitude, another level of purpose. And that would have overflowed and poured into her miracle baby. As she as a mom is holding her baby in her arms, she's honoring God. She's thanking God. She's adoring God because she's holding in her hand God's miracle. She's holding in her hand the answered prayer of God's faithfulness to her. And she's speaking that life into him. She's speaking that purpose and destiny into that baby in her arms. She's showing him, this is how you worship, son. Give honor and praise to God. And so as Samuel becomes a boy, not a man, everyone say, not a man, a boy, ready to be given to Eli for training, to be positioned for the calling of God, to be positioned to hear from God. All young Samuel knows is the lifestyle of worship that his mom would emulate, would speak into him, right? He had no other example of it. It was his mom's, you know, desperation. It was his mom's time with God that he saw. Oh, that's how you worship. He knows who he belongs to. Young Samuel knows who he belongs to. And he knows who he is in God. And he knows why he is where he is. He's right in the middle of his calling. But you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, that's all good, Henry. You know, that's pretty good. But I never had a Hannah in my life. I don't know what it's like to minister to the Lord. And fair enough, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different upbringings. But I'm speaking to you right now. I'm speaking to you right now. And I want to declare this over your life right now. If you're sitting there and that is the question on your heart, on your mind, I want to declare this over your life, that God has called you for such a time as this. That you are wonderfully and fearfully made in the image and glory of God. That you have been chosen to be his ambassador, to be his hands and feet in this, wherever you go. You have been prepared for this very moment. You are equipped and well able to do this. God has chosen you for a unique assignment that will stretch you and build you and strengthen you to become a greater witness for him in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on. For God. And I know we go through seasons where we forget what God has called us to. We forget who we are in God. We forget why we're here. You know, we forget these things. But we need to open up God's word and start reminding ourselves, oh God, I'm a child of God. You have called me. You have prepared me. You have enabled me. Let our calling be a demonstration of our worship to God. Do you see worship as part of your calling? Do you see worship as part of your calling? You don't have to be up here doing what Charles and the whole team up here, you know. This isn't just a platform for worship. When you're in your house, when you're going through stuff, that's when you need to turn your worship up. Do you see your worship as part of your calling? Samuel did. As a boy, everyone say a boy. As a boy. So when we're positioned for a calling, three things are evident. Number one, our calling existed before we were conceived, right? Number two, our calling is demonstrated in our worship. And number three, our calling positions us close to God. 1 Samuel 3, verse 2 to 3 says this, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Here is Eli, the high priest. He's getting a bit old. His eyesight's going. But he's lying down in his own place. He's comfortable in a place where he's familiar with. He's lying down there. Whereas we read, young Samuel is lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God is. Samuel's calling has positioned him close to God. And so when the voice calls out to Samuel in verse 4, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel doesn't know any different because at this current point in time, he doesn't know the voice of God yet. And so when he hears his name called, he's running to Eli. Yes, you called? And Eli's asleep. He goes, what? I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. So he goes back. Samuel lies down. Samuel, Samuel, get up. Yes, you called? Eli's getting, no, I didn't call you. Go and lie down. I'd be getting, who's talking to me then? You know, But Samuel goes, okay. So he's lying down. And it isn't until the third time that Eli gets it. If he isn't calling him, then it must be God that's calling him. When he gets it, he says this to Samuel. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Eli gives the best possible advice, fatherly advice, that he can come up with to this young Samuel right here. I came across this next few points from David Guzik, who is a pastor and Bible teacher, who breaks down this powerful statement, this powerful advice here of Eli. And I believe that this is relevant to us as well for positioning ourselves and hearing the calling of God. So the first one is this, go lie down. Eli tells Samuel, go lie down. He's telling Samuel in essence that, go make yourself available for God to speak. How many of us can go lie down without turning our phone on? Oh, what's the status? When you've been told to go lie down, and I'm not talking about go lie down, go to sleep. No, go lie down and just wait on God. Lily shared a word this morning. Be still. That's what it means to go lie down. Doesn't mean go lie down and get more busier. Go lie down. Maybe that's a word for someone in here this morning. You need to go lie down. Nudge your neighbor and say, do you need to go lie down? If you're next to your husband, maybe wake him up. How many of us can go lie down? Making ourselves available for God to speak. Turning off all the noise. Turning down everything else that's going on in our lives, in our worlds. This is an invitation for us to lie down at the feet of King Jesus. To position ourselves for our God-given calling to be revealed to us. Number two, if he calls you, this is Eli telling Samuel, don't be arrogant about God speaking to you. He tells Samuel not to be presumptuous about God speaking. Hey, God just spoke to me. Has he spoken to you? Did he speak to you? No, he hasn't spoken to you. Oh, okay, well, he spoke to me. Yeah, we speak all the time. Yeah. Don't be arrogant about God speaking to you. Come on. People think you're weird, spooky. They'll run away from you. You have no friends. See, it's a natural downward spiral. Number three, speak, Lord. Respond to the word of God. Here he's telling Samuel to respond to the word of God. You know, we must hear from God. The preacher may speak, our parents may speak, our friends may speak, our teachers may speak, people on the media may speak. That's all fine, but their voices mean nothing for eternity unless God speaks through them. What? It's like a kick to the face. Wow. What words are being spoken to you that you're allowing to sink in and you're thinking, yeah, what people are saying, what the media is saying, yes, I want that. But is that what God wants? Number four, your servant hears. Here he's telling Samuel to humble himself before God. Humble himself before God and his word. Humility before God will help us to stay grounded in his word. You know, we don't have to know everything. We don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to know all the questions or the scenarios. All we need to know is who can we go to get all this stuff from? And that person, that God is our God, the living God. Amen? That's all we need to know. You got a question? Take it to God. Don't call up your best friend. Hey, you know, I'm going through this stuff, you know. Can you help me? Come to God. Say, God, I'm at this place. God, help me. Show me. Give me the advice, God. What is it that I need to do? So right now, we're going to go into a bit of discussion, okay? And so if you can get in groups of threes, okay? And we're going to go into the discussion. And this is the question I want you to ask, okay? Is there evidence in your life that you are positioned for a calling? Why not?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.